Thank you, Amanda. A great song and a great message as well. If you have your Bible today, please turn to John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. John 14, verses 23 and 24. This scripture reads, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the privilege it's ours of being in your house again. We are blessed, God, because you love us so very much. We just pray, God, that we would ever be mindful of what you want us to do. We have a responsibility to ourselves, to our family, to a lost and dying world, to obey you. We pray that we would ever, Lord, be mindful of those things that you tell us to do, and to, with all of our might, God, and with your help, do those things that would be honor and bring glory to you. Pray that you'd lead, guide, and direct us. Help me as I shall speak. Help these people as they shall listen. And we just pray, God, that we would be blessed in such a way that we would go away saying it was good to have been in the house of the Lord because we have felt your presence in a powerful way. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Now, last week I started a series of messages based on the question, what did Jesus do? And of course, I think it's very important for every Christian to be mindful of, to read in the Bible, to study what those things that Jesus did. And not only to study those and be aware of them, but to ourselves do everything that we possibly can to emulate what he did. And now last week, you may remember as we started on this series, what did Jesus do? We said that the first thing that Jesus did was he had a very strong prayer life. And he did, indeed. He depended upon prayer. He relied upon prayer. He spent a lot of time praying. He prayed early in the morning, he prayed at night, he prayed all night long on many occasions before he made his important decisions, such as calling his disciples and going into his public ministry. He spent a lot of time praying. And of course, prayer protected him from the temptations of Satan, just like it will be a shield to us, to protect us from many of Satan's devices. I said that Jesus prayed for three basic reasons. First of all, he wanted to have a fellowship with God, a closeness with God. He enjoyed simply talking to God and feeling his presence. And that's a good reason for us to pray. Now, you know, sometimes we fall into the category that our prayers are just a long list of gimme things. Just, Lord, give me this, give me that. I want this, I need that. But I think a much more effective prayer life would be that we want to be close to God. We enjoy talking with him and him talking to us. If you love somebody, don't you love talking to them? Don't you love just being in their very presence? And that is exactly what prayer can do. Jesus relied upon prayer because he realized that in the flesh, and he was fully human, he could not do the things that God wanted him to do unless he prayed and prayed a lot. Thirdly, he realized the power of prayer, that prayer brought forth miracles, prayer healed the sick, prayer did these incredible things. So Jesus was Christ, was a man of prayer indeed. Now I said that he prayed for four basic reasons. First of all, he prayed for his disciples, but he prayed for their protection, and he was praying for our protection as well. Now you know, there are many things in our world today that are dangerous to us, physically, but spiritually, most of all. And whenever we pray, we should pray for God's protection from the evil things that are around us today, for the temptations that are around us. And particularly when you pray for your children, pray for their protection, that they would do those things that they know that is best for them, the things that you have taught them, the things that they have learned in church, that they would be protected from all those lies of Satan and all those devices of Satan that abound in our world today. They're not going to hear the truth in school very much anymore as far as spiritual things are concerned. They really can't. And they're not going to hear it on TV, most likely, but they will hear it from you. Let's pray that God will protect them indeed. I said also that he prayed that his disciples would be sanctified, would be set apart from the world. I said that Jesus' prayer was for unity of the church, and certainly there's a great need of unity. We said that his prayers included joy for mankind, for you and me especially indeed. Now today we look at another area of Jesus' life, something else that he did, and our first point is this. He lived a life of obedience. He lived a life of obedience. Now, the Bible mentions a lot about obedience and the importance of us doing those things that God requires us to do. Now, a definition of the word obedience, one definition is simply this. It means to comply with or to be in agreement with. But probably a deeper definition of obedience is simply this, is to submit yourself or to put yourself under the command or the authority of another. And that's what we do. When we obey God, we should want to obey God because he is our authority. He has created us, he has made us, he has given us certain responsibilities and things to do, and we should do with everything that we possibly can to obey God to the very letter of the law. Indeed, that's what he requires. Now, obedience is not a very popular word in our world today. Several years ago, I was going to marry this couple, and I was having premarital counseling with them. And we were going over several matters, but we went over the ceremony. And the lady said to me, she said, I want you, she said, it's that ceremony says love, honor, and obey. And she says, I don't want that in my marriage ceremony. And actually, I think that there's probably better words. But anyway, she wanted to strike that. And I thought that that's kind of the way that people think today. We don't want to obey those in authority over us. Many children don't want to obey their parents. And as bad as that is, it's far worse when we don't want to obey God and do those things that God tells us to do. But throughout the Bible, obedience is stressed. Obedience is talked about from Genesis to Revelation. Several things the Bible says about people who obeyed the Lord, who obeyed God. Psalms 103 and verse 20 tells us that the angels obeyed the Lord. It says, the angels, the mighty ones who did his bidding, who obeyed the word of God. Now we know that there are many, many angels. There were many angels in heaven before the world began. And we know that that one-third of them disobeyed, and because of that, including Satan, they were banished from heaven, and they're in the abyss today. They're there burning in hell fire. And, you know, when we don't obey God, there's always ultimate punishment indeed. But two-thirds of the angels obeyed God, and that, was, of course, was a very important thing. Hebrews 10 and 7 says, and it's talking about the Lord here. He says, I have come into this world to do your will, my God. Noah is mentioned in Genesis, for the first time in Genesis chapter 6. And what it tells us there about Noah was this. He was an obedient person. Now remember this, it was not easy. He lived in a very sinful age. The Bible says that the thoughts and ways of mankind were only evil continually. And it says they were so bad that God actually regretted. He was very sorrowful that he had made mankind. But it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And because of the life that he lived, God said, I'm going to give you something to do, Noah. I want you to obey me. And if you obey me, if you do the things that I tell you to do, you will save yourself, and you will ultimately save mankind in general. Now, if it were not for Noah's obedience, where would we be today? We wouldn't have a world today. We wouldn't have mankind. But Noah obeyed God, and he built that ark, and he saved himself and mankind in general. Obedience is very important. Abraham was a man who obeyed God, and certainly he was a man after God's own heart, as David was and others were. He obeyed God, But God gave him a very difficult assignment one day. He said, Abraham, I want you to get out from the place that you are, away from your family, away from your father, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you, go to a place that I will instruct you and lead you there. And I will make of you a great nation and a great people. Now that was not easy. That could not have been easy to do this, to just simply say, yes, God, I'll leave my family, I'll leave my country, I'll leave everybody I know, and I'll go exactly where you tell me to go. But the Bible says that Abraham did this, and because he did, that God blessed him in a very special way. God will never instruct you to do something that will not be for your ultimate good, and when he instructs us to do something, we must obey that indeed. Now, our second point is this. Jesus obeyed in everything, in all things. As a matter of fact, in that everything that Jesus Christ did from the beginning of his life to the very end of his life, he was acting in total obedience to God. Everything that he did. First of all, he is coming to the world in the first place, leaving heaven and coming to this world. Now, let's remember what he gave up. He was up there in heaven. He was worshipped. He was adored. Heaven was perfect. And he was the highest being up there. Yet one day, his instructions from God was this, that he come down to this earth. He take on human form. He have human limitations. He have human temptations. He come down to a world where he would not be admired by many people and so forth. And he was here to live until God told him it was time for him to perform his ultimate mission, that was to die upon the cross. But Jesus Christ obeyed. He obeyed, and he was willing to come down to this earth. When he was born, where he was born, how he was born, all these things were acting in obedience to God the Father indeed. Following his birth, we only have one incident, we only have one occasion described by the Bible between his birth and his public ministry, and that was when he was about 12 years old. When he was about 12 years old, his parents took him to Jerusalem for one of the religious festivals. It was a very spiritual time, and they were traveling with other family members. The feast lasted several days, and then it was time for them to go back home. When Joseph and Mary were returning home, they looked in the other people that were traveling with them, probably some distance from them, and Jesus was not with them. And they went back to Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple asking the elders questions that they could not answer. And they said to him, "Why have you treated us this way? Don't you know that we were very worried about you?" But here's Jesus' response as a 12-year-old boy. He said, "I must be about my Father's business." In other words, I must be obeying my Father. So he thought about this. He was already of this mindset when he was 12 years old. He obeyed his Heavenly Father. That was uppermost in his mind. Just before Jesus began his public ministry, he went out to the River Jordan where John the Baptist was baptizing people. And he requested that John baptize him. And John was reluctant to do so. John the Baptist was. He said, "Listen, I shouldn't be baptizing you. I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me because you're the greater one." And Jesus said, "Go ahead and do it because this is the will of my Heavenly Father." So he was baptized in obedience to his Heavenly Father. And then God the Father was so pleased that he said from heaven, he spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." His death on the cross was an obedience to God. Did Jesus enjoy the thought of dying on the cross, suffering the pain and the humiliation of having a crown of thorns put on his head or spikes driven through his hands or beaten with 40 lashes save one? Did he enjoy the prospect of that? Certainly he did not. But he was willing to do it for two reasons, because he loved you and me, and also in obedience to God, the Heavenly Father, because this was God's will, this was God's mission, and the only thing that spared mankind, that brought our salvation, was the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to obey God and die on the cross and suffer for our sins that we might have eternal life. You know, that ought to bring joy to our hearts. That Jesus was willing to obey God to that extent that he was willing to die, not for himself, but for you and for me. Now, you know, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And he was thinking about the agony. He knew what lay before him. But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And then he said it another way in Matthew 26 and 42. He prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to pass from to be taken away from me, unless I drink it, may your will be done." So he decided to obey. And then the Bible says that in everything that God told Jesus Christ to do in this life, he was faithful to do it. He was totally obedient. Now, you know, obedience is not always easy. It's really not. Not always easy. Not like, falling off a cliff or something like this. It requires a lot of requires a lot of dedication. It requires a lot of commitment. It requires doing some things that we don't really want to do. It requires us of being unselfish instead of selfish. And sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we will agree with the world's way of, putting ourselves first. But an obedient person does not put themselves first. They put others before they put themselves. They put God first and foremost. They want to obey Him because they know exactly what He says is right and it's what's best for them. So they want to obey Him. But obedience requires us of being self-sacrificing. It requires us going the second mile. It requires us to turn the other cheek. And do we like to do that? We like to get back at people sometimes. But obedience requires that we don't do that, that we put others before we put ourselves. It will require us to hold our tongue sometimes when we want to speak. It requires us to hold our temper in check when we would rather fly off the handle and say exactly what we want to say. But an obedient person does not do that because they know it is not the will of God for them to do that. So obedience is very important. Jesus obeyed in everything, and we must be obedient in all things as well. It requires a sacrifice. Very hard to do, but we must do it indeed. Now, why was Jesus obedient? That's a good question to ask. Point three, why was he obedient? For several reasons, but I think first and foremost, he was obedient because of his love for his Heavenly Father. He loved his Heavenly Father so much that he was willing to obey him indeed. And that's what he says to us. He says in our scripture, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and they will not be grievous to you." Love is the reason that we do the things that we should do. It should, for God, for the church, and all these other things, is because we love Him with all of our heart, and whatever He asks us to do, we love Him so much that we are willing to do it. John 14 and 21, "Who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and who loves me will be loved by my Heavenly Father as well." Love is the very best motive for doing the things that you do. You've probably heard the saying before, find a job that you really like or find a job that you really love and you'll not work a day in your life. You ever heard that? I've never found a job, that, including the ministry that I loved that much, because they all have certain drawbacks. But if we really love God, we are willing to do those things because out of love for Him, the main motive should be that. And that will be the long-lasting thing, that will thing that will keep us going when everything else fails us. If we really love God, we'll enjoy doing His work and doing those things that He tells us to do indeed. The word love is mentioned 57 times in the book of John. So he mentions love, God's love for us, but also our love for Him. And if we love Him at the way that we should, we will obey Him and do those things that He tells us to do. Now, there are three reasons that people obey, and that's this: a slave obeys because they have no other choice. They don't have any choice. They fear punishment and all this because, therefore, they obey. An employee obeys his employer because of the reward that he gives to him, because of his paycheck. Again, there are jobs out there that we do, and we don't always enjoy every aspect of it, but we do it because we want to get a paycheck. We enjoy that check at the end of the week or at the end of the month. But a Christian obeys because they love God. That's why that Jesus obeyed, and that's why we must obey, because we love God and His commandments are not grievous to us. The second reason that Jesus obeyed and we should obey is He wanted to honor His Heavenly Father. He wanted to bring honor and glory to His Heavenly Father who lived up in heaven. He wanted people to get a true idea of what God was like. That God was a holy God, that God was a merciful God, that God was a God of love and compassion and all of that. And he knew that if he obeyed God, if he did those things that God would wanted him to do, it would not only please God, but it would reflect well upon God. God would be honored by it indeed. It's kind of like when a parent sends their children out into the world. They go out there in society and they're well-behaved. They're respectful, they're considerate. It reflects well on the parent. Really does. So somebody's going to say, well, you know, that child, they came from a good home. They have good parents that's been teaching them the right things. And by the way, I have a neighbor, on each side of me. Both of them are Hispanic families, and both of them are very good neighbors. I really enjoy living next to both of them. One of the things that impresses me most about this one family in particular, though, is their children. Those children are so respectful. Now, some of them are fairly small, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, along in there. There are 3 or 4 of them. But every time I'm out in the yard, they always go out of their way to speak to me. They're always considerate. They're always nice. And I told Jewel, when they first moved there, we were already there, I said, that family, that's good parents of that family right there. That's good parents that are raising their children, that are teaching them the correct values. And Jesus obeyed God because he wanted to honor God, and he wanted to please God in what he did, but he also wanted people to get a true picture of what God was like. God was a merciful God. God was a holy God. God was a pure God, and compassion and all these other things. Thirdly, Jesus obeyed God, and we should as well, because he knew that that was what was best for him. And by the way, why should a child obey their parents? Because their parents know what's best for them. Now, there used to be a television program many, many years ago, back in the days of black and white TV when I was just a boy. It was called Father Knows Best. And that was a good, wholesome program. It was well worth watching and so forth. And in my case, it wasn't Father Knows Best, but it was Mother Knows Best. But my mother had certain rules, certain things that she said, these are things you must do or these are things you must not do. And I know that I went through a period that I questioned her wisdom. I questioned, you know, that she just didn't want me to have any fun and didn't want me to, you know, do these things and so forth. But, you know, the more of life I lived, and when I disobeyed her, usually I found out that one way or the other, by her Hickory switch, one way I found out. But I found out that her ways were really best. I remember she was telling me as a teenager, she said, Kenny, she said, I was asking her one day, I said, Mother, why do you put a curfew on me? I said, some of my friends, they don't have a curfew. They don't have to be in at 11 o'clock. Why do you think I should be in at 11 o'clock? She said, Kenny, there are things that go on out there in the world late at night. Not that you couldn't get in trouble before you're late at night, but she said, there are things that go on out there, and she said, that you don't need to be involved in. You need to be at home. You need to be here with me. You need to be protected from it. And later on, when she lifted that curfew a little bit, one Saturday night I was in town, and a blue light came on behind me. The chief of police pulled me over, and he said, I have seen you in town lately, late at night. I thought my mind went back to what my mother had said. And I had not broken any laws. I had not done anything and so forth. But I was under suspicion by the police just because I was out late at night. And my mother had relented a little bit, but I found out she was very right. The best thing that we can do, the wisest thing that we can do, is obey God, because He knows best. He knows what ways are best for us. Not to restrict our behavior, not to keep us from doing things, but it's best for us. It will turn out best for us if we simply obey Him. And also, it's the wisest thing to obey God. Jesus says that he that hears my words and obeys them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. The storms came, the floods arose, and the house stood because he was a very wise person to build on that rock, out of obedience indeed. We must obey God. That's so very important. Jesus did, and we must. Why don't we obey sometimes? Why do we disobey instead of obeying? Because we don't love God as much as we should. You know, some people say, the Bible says, it's not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he obeys me. That's the one that's going to have God's richest blessings, not only now, but for eternity as well. But sometimes we don't love God to the extent that we claim that we do. We love ourselves. We want to get our own way instead of doing things God's way. In the 1990s, there was rioting in Los Angeles, and this has happened even before then, but this particular incident was in the 1990s, early 90s. And a group of people were burning buildings. They were disobeying the law. They were just taking matters in their own hands, and they were burning buildings and looting stores and just taking everything out of stores. And the police were overwhelmed, could not deal with all of them. There was a news team that was there filming some of this incident, and they filmed one man that was coming out of a store, and this store had once been a music store, a gospel music store, and they had already taken most of the things out, but this particular man was in there, and he came out, and he had some gospel CDs there, and he showed them to the newsman. And the newsman said, why in the world are you robbing? Why are you looting a gospel music store? And why did you take these gospel CDs? And the man responded, because I love Jesus. Now, did he love Jesus? I seriously doubt it. I seriously doubt it. He was disobeying God. He was doing those things that God told him not to do. But he didn't really love God as much as he claimed he loved God. Sometimes we don't obey God because of our own carnal nature, because our sinful nature gets in the way. Stephen, and of course he was the first Christian martyr, he said in Acts 7 and 51, you are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Now that was a message they didn't like, but they were being disobedient. And he was saying, you don't really love God. You're not really the people of God because your disobedience shows it. The Bible warns us this that I just said a while ago. Not everyone who saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So sometimes we don't want to obey God because we just really don't love God to the extent that we think we do. And sometimes we are very selfish indeed. We want God's blessings, but we don't want to obey His rules. Now, one of the things that medical doctors dislike the most, besides the people who don't pay their bills, by the way, that's number one. But the thing that doctors dislike the most is people who come to them and come to them for help and so forth. They prescribe medications, they tell them to do certain things, and that person goes out the door and does not do what the doctor says. They don't take their medication. And by the way, a recent study has shown this, that as many as 40% of people don't take their medication correctly that they get from the doctor. And a higher percentage than that, when a doctor tells them to go on a diet or quit smoking or to start exercising and doing some of these things, they don't do them. They want the doctor's help in curing them medically, but they don't want to follow his rules. They don't want to obey him. And therefore, he cannot help them to the way that he wants to. We must obey God. It's very important that we do this indeed. Obedience proves two things, two very important things. It proves that we are true Christians indeed. It proves that we are true Christians indeed. It proves that we have passed from death unto life because we love God, because we want to obey God. True Christian is not one who constantly disobeys God and does things they want to. They're under new ownership, they're under new lordship, they're doing not things their way, but they're doing things God's way. That's proof of salvation if we really love God. Jesus said this, the one who doesn't, it's not only a proof of our love for God and proof that we are saved if we obey God, it's proof if we don't obey God, we're not doing those things that God wants us to do. Jesus said this, the one who doesn't love me will not keep my commandments. Then he goes on to say, if we say that we love God but don't keep his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Think about that. So if we say that we love God, if we say that we're genuinely saved, we must be obeying him as proof that we have really passed from, that we're genuine Christians, we have passed from death unto life. Obedience also shows our true level of commitment. Are we really committed to God? Are we really surrendered to God the way that we should be? Jesus said this, the one who claims to love me must walk as Jesus himself walked. Now, you know, the world is looking on at the things that we're doing today. And if you profess Christianity and you don't live a Christ-like life, the world is not going to believe it. And one of the reasons that the world is so skeptical, so resistant to the gospel is if they just see the evidence in our life, they would be much more convinced. But they have seen that we say that we love God, but we really don't obey God and we don't live the kind of life that He wants us to live. So obedience shows that whether we're committed or whether we're not committed. Kind of like the boy, I've told the story to you probably before about the boy who was in love with his girlfriend, and he was trying to give her this big spiel. He said, oh, I love you so much. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd swim the deepest ocean. I'd cross the hottest desert. I'd do anything for you. And then he says, I'll be by to see you Sunday if it doesn't rain. Well, you know what? Sometimes we're almost that bad. God, I love you, but now if it rains today, there's a little problem. I'm not going to go to church, or I'm not going to tithe, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to share my witness, or I'm not going to work. If it's inconvenience for me, I won't do it. How about that? You know, yes, he loved her, but yes, it rained. And he didn't want to go. He wasn't willing to do that. And by the way, the devil is always going to see that it rains. There's always a problem. I don't care how sincere you are. Nothing will be nothing in life goes completely smoothly. If it can for a while, and that's great and so forth, but everything that you tackle in life, everything you try to do has some reservation about it. The devil is going to see the more committed you are to God, the more things, more handicaps he's going to throw in your life. But it comes down to obedience. We must obey God indeed. Finally, obedience brings great rewards. Now, you know, the Bible tells us this. Jeremiah puts it this way. He says, I, the Lord, search the hearts and examine the minds to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. According to what their deeds deserve. Now, you know, the Bible also tells us that God rewards every single thing we do, even the little things. Jesus said this, and there are really no little things. That's the point he was making. But he said, if you give as much as a cup of cool water in my name, you will not lose your reward. God is mindful when you are obeying him. When you're coming to church like you come to church today. When you love others as you love yourself. When you're unselfish, when you're kind, when you're considerate, when you're generous, when you give to others who have a need. All these things speak of your commitment to God, and God will reward you now and for all eternity. Revelation 22 and 12, Jesus said this, and he talked about the second coming. He says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Reward. One of these days, we're going to be rewarded. And by the way, there's another side to that. He said, at the final judgment, some people will lose their reward. Not their salvation, not their eternal life, but they'll lose their reward because they have done it for the wrong motive, because they have not obeyed completely, because they have done it out of selfish reasons and all these other things, not because they love God as much as they should. So I ask you, I say to you, Jesus was obedient in everything. Are we obedient in all things? Look at the bottom of your outline, if you would, and let's just say those words together. Just repeat those words together with me. Right there at the bottom says this. Nothing says I love you like obedience. Let's say that together. Nothing says I love you like obedience. Do you love God? Are you obeying him? I trust that you are indeed. Let us pray. Our Father, we do love you. We do thank you for all blessings. You're a great and wonderful God. It's a privilege, God, it's an honor to be one of your children. We pray, God, like Jesus Christ, we would live a life of obedience. We would love you with all of our heart. We would show to the world that we're your children. We would honor you in all that we do. Lead, guide, and direct us. We do pray. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.